All right, at this time, we have our four panelists, and it's a chance for you to ask any questions of them, to challenge them.
I have a question for John. I found your talk very interesting. What's happening outside the U.S.? Are other countries making similar efforts to personalize their health records?
In the U.K., the NHS has a very big initiative there that's ongoing. In Bulgaria, they are using smart cards with a PHR. There's a company, ICW Global, based out of Germany, that is supporting that effort. They just went live last month, I think, with about 100,000 cards issued, but they're slowly rolling that out as we speak. Germany has a number of initiatives on the PHR side. It's mostly with through the insurers that it's happening in Germany. Germany has some very interesting laws that they have in place to do this. So it's really a country-by-country basis. Most of what I've seen is in Western Europe. InfoWay in Canada is also doing a nationwide PHR initiative for the country.
So are we leading this, or are we followers?
I think it's too early to tell. It's early for everyone. I mean, NHS in the UK is still not fully live on that. They're slowly rolling it out. InfoWay is still in the process of implementation, nothing live yet for Canada. Germany has some things going on that they've been using for a little while. Some of the big payers have been, especially with biometric devices, have been doing that there. But it's spotty. There's no one country you can point to and say, and as for the U.S., I would think in terms of some of the innovative stuff that's happening, it's certainly happening here in the States. We'll see what actually comes of it.
Are you aware of any developments in the field of information visualization or scientific visualization in order to represent molecular diagnosis data, genomics, anything along those lines, in some sort of graphical form that would be easy to parse, easy to get insight and derivations from? Any work that's been being made along those lines in order to represent this data in a more intuitive format?
Who's this for?
Probably for me. I'm actually not aware. That's a very interesting approach, but I am not. I mean, there are multiple visualization tools which allow us to analyze the data and to represent the data in terms of the scientific analysis. Whether we can port those tools to make the data easier to interpret in the clinical context, I haven't seen anything regarding that. But do you know of anything? You're the visualization expert here.
There's one company, Ingenuity, that has a visualization mapping tool, which will do what's called dimensional collapse, or also known as a gravity method, and take an n-dimensional system, and through k-means or other repetitious convergent algorithms, project the n-dimensional system on a two-dimensional plane where the most linked epitopes or probes or peptides are approximately located to each other. They also have a three-dimensional map that can be exported to tools like Spotfire. It's unfortunately a very expensive subscription type service to subscribe to Ingenuity.
Let me add to that this is actually something that's going to become a little bit more important and more relevant. One of the forecasts, which actually was fairly well discussed at the USCAP meeting two weeks ago, is this concept, especially for cancer, where tumors have very complex ways of arriving to the same end, to become a tumor. And there is many different roads to get to that end. And depending on which road the tumor took, it's depending on which therapies we're going to be actually applying to them. And this is all, you know, been surfacing within the last decade of data, and we're starting to understand what does, you know, a protein here means, and what does a gene here does not mean, and what is the relevance, and starting to put all that together. When we actually are able to do that, then we're going to have these very complex ways of looking at the data and deciding which is the best therapy for this patient. When we know, okay, this pathway is blocked, or this is the main pathway that this tumor is using, but if I attack this pathway, I can see that this tumor actually has the ability to overcome this attack, and then I have to block those two pathways in the same way. So I think it's going to become very necessary to have these visualization tools that you're referring. So I'm sure it's going to be something that will get a lot more attention.
Let me just make one comment. I agree with your prescriptive advice that essentially we'll have to scrap everything and start from the beginning. But I'm also deeply concerned, based on your presentation and that of Dr. Vrsaljevic talking about the biome, that you're so far beyond the capabilities almost of any systems in terms of complexity. And not only, in fact, beyond the realm of most physicians even to understand what you're talking about. And also a dynamic science that's changing from day to day, and that's certainly not, from a prescriptive point of view, to sort of say to a vendor, start from scratch, but you can't even define what it is you want them to report and to whom, and to make it in a way that's even understandable. Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, I see a health system with 45 million uninsured that's going to be stressed simply offering basic services. And on the other hand, I see in the lab area exploding technology both in radiology and pathology. And I can't even conceive of a scenario that would even arrive at the point you're discussing. So I guess I don't even know where to begin with what you're saying. It's more of a comment than a question, but I can't even conceive where we start with this. Yeah. Certainly rapid prototyping and web and the cloud comes to mind, but I can't even understand a starting point.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, it's very radical to say, okay, you know, forget everything we've been doing and let's start anew. But I think what we need to start is to develop systems that are much more flexible than the systems that we have now. We have very rigid workflows and very rigid system, and that was the mindset when we started working on these, and they've served their purpose. But as you say, the pace of discovery and the pace, amazingly, even though the pace of drug development is fairly slow and has actually slowed down even further, The pace of discovery and development of diagnostic tests keeps growing. We just keep adding new tests and new things keep showing up, and we move them into the clinical use, at least for diagnostics, very, very quickly. And what we don't have is that flexibility in the systems to make them work with things that, you know, are coming along. And that's where I would start, thinking about systems that can be morphed. And, you know, one of the key issues to me is capturing the actual granularity of the data. I think we've failed to do that. And once we have that granularity, then we can move it around and, you know, report it and transform it even with outside tools. So, right now we just lose so much when we manage everything as tags.
I agree with you. The problem is the HIPAA, FDA, the payors, they're not looking for flexibility. They're looking for a clear definition, yeah. So essentially they can manage their jobs. So I just don't see a scenario. But on that happy note, it's now 12 o'clock. Is there one more question and then we'll adjourn? Okay, one more question from John.
This is on the PHRs. I may be out of touch because I looked at this a year ago with the Microsoft health vault. The Microsofts and Google seem to be disclaiming that they're covered entities and that they're under HIPAA and that it's all the patient voluntarily putting their data in and they don't have to worry about any of that, which made it very concerning for the big institutions to want to dump their databases of all their patient records over to these systems because the liability issues weren't really clearly spelled out. And I don't know if you have any updates on the trends of what Microsoft's doing or Google or where they're going to go with that, but we still find it a danger to dump our whole database over there without having a better legal regime established for how those records are going to be established.
This is obviously a very touchy issue. Frankly, I think privacy is used as a ruse by many in the healthcare sector to hang on to the data and not release it into the consumer for consumer control, because he who owns the data owns the relationship. Therefore, there's a vested interest on those that own or hold the data to keep the data and not make it liquid and portable. That being said, both Google Health and Microsoft Health Vault, in partnering with whether it's Kaiser Permanente, Cleveland Clinic, Mayo, et cetera, they've made it very clear that it is the consumer that chooses to move the data into a Google Health account or a Health Vault account. That releases the liability because it's consumer consent. And under the consumer consent rules of HIPAA, a consumer has a right to a copy of their records for a reasonable charge, you know, whatever the charge is for a physician or practice or hospital to provide those records. But once you hand it over to the records to the consumer, it's their record. They can do what they wish with it, and the liability is left with them. Now, it's gotten a little tricky with the new stimulus package. There are new privacy conditions and extensions of HIPAA to what are called business associates. So that's the question now is a Google Health a business associate of any of these entities or not? Is Health Vault a business associate of any of these entities or not? When you start looking at Microsoft Health Vault and what they're doing on the clinician side with Amalga, and using Health Vault in conjunction with Amalga, then you got a business associate relationship, and I believe Microsoft will fall under HIPAA requirements in that regard. And how that extends into the consumer side, I'm not sure yet. I was literally speaking to Microsoft yesterday about this issue because Mayo Clinic has put a hold for now on moving any data or allowing data to be moved out of their system into Health Vault until this gets squared away, because their lawyers are looking at it. Everyone's digging into this. If you look at, I'd also talked to Google yesterday about this, and I met with them last week in DC. Google does not believe they are a business associate with anyone. They are an untethered PHR service targeting the consumer. It is the consumer's choice whether or not to use Google Health to store their records and to share their records. It is the consumer, and under consumer consent and the new HIPAA requirements, they are fully clear, at least according to their legal outside legal counsel, and they're sticking with that story for now. But it's early. They're still interpreting the legislation. We'll have to see what... We have a new, you know, she hasn't been confirmed yet, but we'll see what Sebelius does and her team in terms of interpreting the legislation and how that'll be extended. In talking to some of the some of the aides on the Hill that work with, you know, the various congressmen and senators, they have also told me specifically if they wanted to have PHRs covered, they would have put it in the legislation. They did not want PHRs directly covered. They wanted to keep it flexible and allow the consumer to make that decision. That's why the new privacy conditions in the stimulus package put a lot of the onus onto the consumer and consumer consent in terms of how records are shared. So, long answer, but
thank you, John.
That's the most up to date, as current as yesterday.
I want to thank all the speakers for this morning. It was an outstanding morning, and this we will now adjourn. Thank you all for your participation and support, and we will see you next year.